106.7. They're ready to believe you.
The Don and Mike Show. And they'll say what they wish.
Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Member of the NRA.
Yes, remind me, I got to squeeze a couple minutes out of today's show to ask Rob about his weekend at the NRA range.
Yeah.
We just discussed it very briefly in the opening yesterday.
Rob did some shooting over the weekend.
And I have a lovely bruise on my shoulder to show for it.
Oh, yeah, so a big guy.
And I want to tell you about the extensive test that they require you to take before you join the NRA.
Real brain teaser?
Yeah. Well, laugh if you will, but they take it very seriously.
Oh, really?
Hello, Charles Hessen, C-Wax.
It's me. Do you love my toupee? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Big Cup and all the ships at sea. It's even better than 3 pounds of cheese, 1 pound of ham, and 5 loaves of Italian bread.
Yeah. The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Rob A. Seawatt, the 1,000-pound man.
Hello, and thank you for listening. Coast to coast and nationwide. Still, we're in the countdown now. Our last few days, the affiliation of the Westwood One Network.
Ah, yes, things are moving quite nicely.
Yes, contracts being faxed back and forth as we speak.
Very exciting day.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara right here. That's why we still to this day call it the Cotton Picking Don and Mike Show.
We are cool and in control here now, gentlemen.
Stay cool.
Stay cool.
Stay cool.
Stay cool. Coming to you from Sinkhole Number 1, home station, WJFK in Washington, D.C. What a cesspool this radio station is. Ken Stevens, he's the general manager. Many skin tags in a six-car garage.
Yes, very stressed out man.
Then you have Jeremy Coleman, Mark Anthony, the program director. He's in the fetal position under his desk right now with a third floor. Big Daddy Mel rules the world from New York City. Our agent, of course, is
Day Cool. Day Cool.
In Chicago. Hey, soccer mom, listen. I hope you took Junior and Missy and you moved them right in the back of the room because I had already whipped this thing out.
Is it wearing a Hawaiian shirt?
No, again, I'm not feeling well.
Oh, my God.
That is another perfectly executed opening this big-time major market radio show. Network du jour is still Westwood One. We are on 61 affiliate stations, and we have 5 million Arbitron-rated listeners.
We're grateful for that part.
Yeah, no kidding. For that, we say thank you, and we appreciate the patronage, and blah, blah, blah. Here he is now to my left and to your right. Mike, apparently everybody got the memo about wearing a crazy Hawaiian shirt today except for you.
Darn it!
There is our friend Guy Birdley. Hello, Guy.
Aloha. Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Today is the 8th of June, and our telephone number is 1-800-636-1067.
Yeah.
We've got some controversy on today's show.
You know, you didn't tell me or let me in on anything. You said I got to tell you on the air, and I am just chomping at the bit to find out all the things that are going on.
It's not all great.
Okay.
A lot of stuff is not too good is happening.
All right, very good.
First, I will tell you one thing that's good, and I want to follow up on this from yesterday's episode.
Yes.
The management guy here, Jeff Hedges, that we had the huge fight with yesterday.
Yeah, we had a nice meeting with Jeff before the show.
Yeah. He's no longer on the enemies list. Every day's cool. He's okay.
Good. Yeah, it's real nice. Some real nice things were said, and we had a very nice chat with him, and so everything, all is right with the world in that department.
So don't worry, Jeff. Pressure's off.
Yes.
You're a friend of the show again.
Don't worry about it. Everything is water under the bridge.
Right. Okay. Now, next item. Let's take a phone call.
Let's do.
I don't feel right starting this show if we don't just take 1 or 2 or 10 or 20 calls.
I have another snake story, too.
Okay.
If you can find time today.
I'll put it on the list, Mike.
Yeah, put it on the list. Snake story. Not a personal snake story, just about my neighborhood.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Hello,
Mike. Mike, nice to talk to you.
Right on.
I have some information for you about Ricky Martin. This is Shane in Alexandria, by the way. I work at California Pizza Kitchen, one of the local restaurants, and one of our managers has dated Ricky Martin on and off for the last 10 years. I thought you might be interested.
And what is this manager's name? Is it a he?
His name, I'll use his first name. His name is Mark.
And he's actually dated Ricky Martin?
Yes, he has. Yes,
Ricky
find out all the information you guys were asking about yesterday.
Hold on. How old is Ricky Martin?
I really don't know.
How old, Robbie?
24.
24. So what you're saying is the guy at this restaurant has dated Ricky Martin since he was 14?
He's been dating him on and off since Menudo years, but this guy's about the same age, actually, so... Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, what you should do is have that guy call us.
I wish I could, but he's not going to do it. As a matter of fact, he just got a signed autographed CD from him before he released his last album and everything. So, I want to confirm what I've heard. I've been asking the same questions for the last 3 weeks since I've heard about this.
All right, well, it's all just speculation unless you could get the actual guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I slept with Jim Nabors. I don't know if that's
okay.
All right. Get out of here, please.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
I can't believe Dad knew that.
Right.
Me either.
Yeah, for a minute there, I thought it was my guy, and then it stopped.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Yes, I have a celebrity sighting this weekend.
Who is the celebrity sighting?
It was Beatrice's vagina.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Our listeners don't waste any time entertaining, do they?
Hello.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
Hi there. Hi, baby.
No. Hi, baby. Listen, I sent you guys a couple cigars about 3 weeks ago.
Are you the lady that you were at a wedding and you sent them to us?
Yes, I did.
They're up in our humidor upstairs, in the office humidor.
That was very nice. Good. Yeah, we plan on smoking them. Thank you.
Good. Well, I will be seeing you in Sacramento.
Beautiful. We will either smoke those or they will be inserted.
I'll use them in Sacramento for that.
Or they'll be inserted into a girl for the Monica Lewinsky.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, the cigars will go to a good home.
Okay. Well, I'll hold a sign up that tells you the cigar lady. But that doesn't mean I want to do the Monica thing.
Very kind and thoughtful of you.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm glad you appreciated it.
Thank you.
Love you.
We love you, too.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Thanks. Hello.
Yeah, turn your radio down, please.
It's down.
Right. Hello.
Hey, I missed yesterday's show. This is like, what, Ricky Martin is gay?
Listen, I'm sorry that you don't have the what's the word?
Self-discipline.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Mike. The self-discipline to listen to this show every day.
The work ethic.
I have to work.
You have
the loyalty.
You have not made this show a priority, and it is an insult to everybody that drops everything they're doing to listen to the show every day.
To explain
that happened on yesterday's show.
Bully.
I work for the government.
I don't care. If you work for the government, that means you can go in at like 2 a.m. and get out at 8 a.m.
Right, I'm
this
sorry.
This is a dream come true, though.
No, working for the government is a dream come true.
Ricky Martin being gay.
Oh, okay. So he's gay. That's what he was just saying.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
That was great. I got some of that. We're not controversial.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, buddy.
How's it going, Bondi?
Great, Bondi.
All right, Bondi.
Bondi.
You know, Rock Hudson didn't have many friends, but he had neighbors up the ass.
Okay. I have heard that one before. Okay. That's what we're going to have to write down and steal.
Oh, my.
I just want to point out how very rare that is that we get a call like that at the beginning of the show. That really cracks us up.
No setup, just bingo. Just bingo.
I'm sure that's about 20 years old, but I've never heard it before. Had you?
No. I have never heard it.
Oh, my God. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I have a celebrity sighting for you.
Oh, no. Come on, please.
I'm serious.
All right. Who's the celebrity?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Did you mention our names to him?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, so you got to do that. You can't just call with a celebrity setting. You have to mention our name.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, is this Charles Broyle?
Yes, this is Charles Broyle.
I'd like to talk to Don and Mike about, I know why Don doesn't like the NRA.
Why Don doesn't like what?
The NRA.
Why doesn't Don like the NRA?
Just because of his past experiences.
Because your radio's up too loud?
Well, it is, but I can turn it down.
Oh, yeah? Why don't you turn it down?
Moron.
No, I'll tell you why Don doesn't like the NRA. Because if he had a gun, he would probably shoot most of his idiot listeners.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's really true. If I start with you, you'd probably the first guy he'd shoot.
He'd probably
shoot you, please.
That guy, obviously, he's the NRA.
Yeah. Right, there you go. Hey, you want to know about the NRA? Robbie, come here.
Okay.
Tell everybody. Rob went to the NRA. Now, I'm not being Rosie O'Donnell here, okay?
No.
But Rob went to the NRA.
It's a good time to talk about the NRA, too,
yeah.
Because they are in a huge, like one of their big lobbying things for Congress right now.
And what would anything that I've done in my personal life have to do with the NRA?
Who knows? You've always been anti-gun. You don't like your son to play with guns.
No.
That's just the way you are.
I like paintball, though.
Paintball. Oh, I make the exception for paintball.
I love paintball. So Robbie went to the NRA on Saturday.
Right.
Went with a friend of his. Was it Brad?
Yeah, it was Sunday, actually. Went. Now, you know the big NRA building in Fairfax?
Yes. Yeah, listen.
Right.
Beautiful, big office building. Mm-hmm. And we get there, and we go to use the range. Brad is a member because he likes to use the range. It's the best range in town. And so we go in there, and he says, this is my friend. He's a guest. He doesn't want to join the NRA, but he wants to shoot on the range. He said, well, he's going to have to take the test. And there is a lady and a guy. And the guy takes me, and he pulls out a stack of papers and takes me to the NRA classroom. It looks like, if you remember in Driver's Ed, where they had, like, driver safety posters lining the wall. They're all gun safety posters.
Okay.
And he sits me down. He says, sign here, fill this out, read all this. This is the rules. Every answer on this test is in this rule sheet. It's an open book test. You can refer to this. All the rules are also... posted along the walls. Any answer you need is either in this booklet or on the walls.
Okay. Do you believe that?
Right. Real tough. He says, sit down. This test takes 35 to 45 minutes.
Really? So, it's a real test.
It's true-false.
Yeah.
Short answer. I've got to draw a gun sight, copy it from the poster that's sitting like 6 feet away from me. I had to have Brad explain the gun sight to me because I copied the picture. I said, what did I just draw? I don't know. But as this guy is leaving, Brad comes in. And he says, what are you doing here? And Brad says, the lady that you were with at the front desk said I could help him.
So they let your friend sit in there and help
sat
you.
Next to me, and in 8 minutes, I was certified by the NRA to fire handguns.
Did they observe you perhaps as being challenged? Is that why Brad was sent in to help you?
No, I don't think so. I think I probably could have passed the test on my own. But what we did is we just streamlined it. And I just said, I got most of them actually on my own. I won't tell you that true, but there's a few short answers that I didn't feel like going through the rules or finding the proper poster for.
Right.
Brad, help me. But I now know the 4 steps of undoing an automatic gun.
So when you went to take this test, they gave you a book that had all the answers.
Like a pamphlet. And 4 sheets of paper.
All of the answers were on the wall.
And
they let your friend sit in the room.
That's right.
And help you take the test.
And they offered me to join. You know, you get a $10 discount if you join at the range.
At the range.
At the range. Because you join at the range.
What's your hardest question?
The hardest question was actually had to do with, amazingly, some of them weren't clear in their wording.
It said,
when is it, what do you do exactly before you shoot? And it was something like, has to be...
Pick a listener.
One thing, it was how it was worded, and the lady agreed that it was worded...
Poorly phrased.
But I got them all right, except for that one. And she said, I bet you could argue a case for that one. I said, well, thank you. Can I have my guest badge now, please?
I
want to
go shoot.
You're going to go down to Midgetville.
Let's go shooting.
How about that? Go to Midgetville.
Wow. How about that?
Well, I am the NRA.
Is it right next to the building?
It's sort of like in the basement.
Oh, it's in the basement of the building.
12 wings.
The basement of the NRA building.
Right. So they give you goggles and little ear protectors. And it's great.
Wow.
Very loud down there.
What did you hear? It's a very tough test. Like, you really got bone up for that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I think anyone would agree that most people that shoot guns, you know, they've done some serious studying.
Well, a lot of them are constitutional students because they know it's guaranteed to you in the Constitution.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay, thank you, Robbie.
I'd like to say hi to my friend Charlton. Thank you.
Robbie Heston, everybody.
Robbie Heston. Little Robbie Heston right there. Yeah, ain't he marvelous?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello there, Dawn and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Gay. I'm in Washington, D.C. on business for a couple of weeks, and I just wanted to say that I've been away from a radio station that carried you guys for the past 2 years, and it's so nice to be able to hear you again.
Oh, it's nice. Well, Gail, you should move to where the food is.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, I've kind of been offered it, but I have to be back where my family is.
Mm. Yeah, well, you know, it's your family or Dawn and Mike, Gail.
It's not Gail, it's Gay.
It's Gay?
Your name is Gay?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, really.
What town is it? What town is the town of Gay? What is your town?
I'm from a little bitty town in Pennsylvania called New Alexandria.
We should be. Aren't we on all over Pennsylvania?
Yeah, who knew that we weren't on in New Alexandria?
Whatever it is.
I called right after I moved there, and you can, if I'm closer to Pittsburgh, I can pick you guys up. But we're like a little bit too far out. Like it's
isn't
really
gay. Isn't gay normally a guy's name? In an olden time guy's
like
name?
Gay Talese, that author.
Gay Brewer, he's a golfer, gay
right.
Brewer.
Is
no.
My first girlfriend, Holly Beyer, first girl that I ever French kissed, her yeah. dad was named Gay.
Gay?
Oh,
gay.
Really?
I've never heard of one.
I've never heard of a man named Gay. I went to school with several other girls named Gay.
Really?
Yeah.
Never heard of a girl named Gay.
Well, now you have.
Wow. Well, Gay, very yeah. soon with our new deal,
we will be on the air in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
So I guess you'll be pretty happy about that.
Well, no, because actually, as soon as I get back from D.C., I'm going to be moving to Cocoa Beach, Florida.
All right, well, not a chance we're going to be on a Cocoa Beach, so you're
why not?
Screwed, gluten, tattoo. And if you'd ever palled around with Happy Rockefeller, you know, you'd go to a party and go, here come Happy and Gay.
That's
the only Happy I can think of.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike, please.
Yes, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hey, call a Mexican girl with no legs.
I don't know.
I know that. It's Consuelo.
Love you guys.
That's the one. You know, that I never heard that guy should have taken the challenge with us because he would have had to give out his phone number. That made me laugh.
Consuelo.
I've not heard that one. That's two good ones today.
See.
Papers up the ass and Consuelo. I'm set for our next appearance.
We're all set. We're ready to go.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Rob. This is Jim. And with you and
that guy. God, I am so sick of that guy calling.
He's a friend of ours now, that guy Jeff Hedges that we fought with.
Come on, please.
Okay, one more call, then I'll tell you about some of the controversy. All right.
Hello, Donaldo E. Miguel. Hello?
Oh, for goodness sake. Somebody just looking at the phone going, I'm on.
Hello?
Hello, Donnie.
Yes, hello there.
How are you doing, man?
Hey, man. Who is this, Jeff? Are you talking to me like Max Baer?
Hi.
I'm not in right now.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, what do you want?
What?
What do you want?
Hi.
Oh, come on, please. God, now I'm going to go join the NRA. Today's going to be the day I join the NRA. Robbie, give me the answer to that test.
You got it.
That's I'm right. joining.
You, okay. you can pass it in 7 minutes.
Okay, first bit of controversy on today's show.
Okay.
Yes. Some bad news.
All right.
I'm sorry, but we are not going to be able to do the penis enlargement plastic surgery contest.
Now,
you got to bear with me on this. Early this morning, I always love it when I get a call from the CBS lawyer, right? Always makes my heart beat a little faster, right?
Oh, boy.
I pick up the phone and go, hello? And I'm thinking that it's going to be our agent because we've got...
Yep.
All this stuff, all these faxes going back and forth today. It's a very good day for us.
Sure.
Today. Everything's happening. All these big deals are being signed.
Right.
I pick up the phone today, you know, all full of life. Hello? And he goes, hey, it's me, the attorney for CBS.
Oh, man.
Right away. I go, yeah. I sit down. Standing. Sit down. I go, yes. He says, we got a problem with your plastic surgeon. And I said, really? I thought that all of the legal bull crap had been straightened out already. He said, have you read today's Washington Post? And I said, well, I read the sports section.
Yeah.
And I read the style section.
What was it in?
Health. He said, go to the health.
In the magazine that we normally cast aside.
Go to the health section.
Right?
So looking through, he says, go to page 18. Today is the day that the Washington Post did a full-page expose on, and I want to say from our dealings with him, he was a fine doctor, Dr. Junta.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, before I tell you the stuff that was in the newspaper about Dr. Junta that was going to do the penis operation, I'd like to point out that it was his brother, the other Dr. Junta, that did the breast enhancement surgery.
And everything's fine with him. Beautiful job.
He was
did a very nice job. The lady was very happy.
He was not mentioned in this article in any way.
Right.
Now, it says right here, a cover story, surgeon is easy to find, but his record is not.
Oh, no.
Now, what's the odds of this? We just had this guy on the show yesterday.
Oh, no.
Okay. Customers will find lots of links to websites of cosmetic surgeon Stephen Junta. Click on facial plastic surgery or cosmetic surgery or rhinoplasty or liposuction or penis, and you'll find Junta's webpage. The doctor even has a special site for laser phalloplasty, an operation he pioneered that is supposed to increase penis size.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what the good doctor was going to supply for us.
Right.
One website features before and after photos of a young woman whose nose has been shortened, and it goes... blah, 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 blah. Gunta estimates he performs 10 such operations every week in his office at a cost of $4,000 to $8,000 each.
Mm-hmm.
Like all cosmetic surgery, the procedure is not covered by insurance. So I'm reading this with the attorney on the phone. I'm saying, As far as I can tell, this has got good publicity. This is a doctor that we had on the show yesterday. He says, read on.
Oh, dear.
But a patient who wanted to check out all other aspects of Jenta's practice would have a considerably harder time finding that information. Much of it is buried in thousands of pages of court records.
Oh, boy.
And in the files of the Virginia Board of Medicine. These documents paint a different picture of the 60-year-old Georgetown University medical graduate than the one he advertises on the Internet. These documents show that in the past decade, Jenta has been named as a defendant in 9 malpractices, declared personal bankruptcy, and was placed on probation by the Virginia Board of Medicine after a patient died in his office following a routine nose job.
Oh, dear. Oh, my.
Right? And the attorney for CBS is saying to me,
yeah,
he starts yelling at me. He says, this is a guy that you're going to have put the knife to some guy's penis?
Oh, my God.
I just don't know. Wait. You know, the article right here says that if you checked him out, he'll check out okay.
Right.
So the lawyer started screaming at me and saying, listen, there's no way that... Regardless of all this happened 10 years ago, there's no way that we could be affiliated with this guy.
Even though he's, you know, technically he might have been involved in all that stuff, but he's still a legal practicing doctor.
Yes, right. Now, it says here, Dr. Jenta declined to discuss most of these matters. It's taken me 10 years to get past it, and I'm not interested in bringing it up, he says. It's usually the good doctors that have the worst problems.
Okay?
Then it goes on and says that he practices plastic surgery. He has not completed a residency in that specialty. He's board certified, was formerly trained as an ear, nose, and throat doctor.
Okay.
Okay.
Georgetown certainly speaks to, you got to be a good guy to get through there, right?
Jenta said he performs a wide variety of procedures outside his certified specialty because he's a highly skilled individual. Statistics show that patients do better in a doctor's office. That's why he says he does it in his office rather than in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The late Spyron Zanos is one who did not. The 44-year-old Arlington stonemason died in Jenta's office in 1989 of an anesthesia complication an hour after undergoing a routine operation to straighten his nose. Then it goes on to say the Virginia Board of Medicine investigated the death, criticized Jenta for failing to use a pulse oximeter, a device regarded as essential in monitoring patients.
Mm-hmm.
No anesthesiologist or nurse was present during the procedure. The Virginia Board also found that Jenta left the office shortly after performing the operation, and the man died in the care of an employee whom Jenta failed to appropriately supervise.
Oh, bummer. Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah, you know, listen,
bad.
Like I say, the guy in our dealings with him seemed to be great,
mm-hmm.
and yes, this was 10 years ago, but
right.
frankly, even if the lawyers hadn't have brought this to our attention, we would have seen this in the paper today, and
sure, absolutely.
As much as we want to give away a penis enhancement surgery,
right.
you know, it's not worth dying for, not to say that it would happen.
No, right. It's certainly not the... the first doctor said somebody, died in his care. I mean, that happens,
The timing was bad.
The timing's horrible.
We had been talking about this.
No, we can't, because of what we do, and, with the publicity, and also the public nature of what we're doing, and now the public nature of that, it doesn't go together.
And, of course, the lawyer said that he had already been contacted, of course, by the Washington Post.
Yeah.
Wanted to say, hey, this was the doctor that we heard on the Don and Mike show yesterday.
Right.
And thank you, Washington Post. You know what I mean? We do great stuff on this show every day, and they turn a deaf ear to it.
Right.
The one day we have a doctor on, as soon as we get some dirt on him,
right.
the first thing they want to do is call our battery of lawyers to say, listen, what do Don and Mike think about this?
Unbelievable.
Love this show.
But it also should be mentioned that the other doctor, who we did the other procedure with,
he's fine.
He's fine.
So
to the best of our knowledge.
No, they don't mention him at all.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, he has a nice ad.
Yes.
The other doctor has a nice ad on the previous page.
Shot.
In this health thing in the Washington Post. You see it, Buzz?
There's his picture right there.
There it is right there on the left. You see it, Mike?
There we go.
Where's the other doctor, John? The
Washington Post was happy to sell advertising time to his brother.
Yeah.
The Washington Post, it's funny. I always like to read the pontificating articles in the Washington Post.
Right.
And when they're talking about what's good and decent and moral, and then flip over the page and read about the latest massage parlor to advertise in the paper.
So like I said, this guy seemed to be on the up and up with us.
Well, and
I'm sure he's competent.
Yeah, absolutely.
From a legal point of view.
Yeah, we're just in that position.
That's what the people of the company thought.
Mm-hmm.
They thought, boy,
you know, it's bad timing that we had the guy in the show yesterday. We wanted to do the surgery in 2 weeks. And it's not like this is a little article in the newspaper. It's a full page, a big cover story. He's got his picture and his website.
And with all that said, you know, since we can't do this, it's unfortunate. But I should also point out, because I think whenever you read anything in the Washington Post, you need balance, that this guy is still legally practicing medicine.
Right. I mean,
and when they're doing that and they do a thorough investigation, if they think that the guy's incompetent, they take his license away. That's the way that works.
It was 10 years ago.
Right.
But because of that, you know, the company didn't feel secure in us giving away
this
because they were concerned about the health risk. And also they were concerned with the fact that, you know,
the public nature of this.
Yeah, the timing.
We just had the guy on the show yesterday, and today the Post does a huge expose.
I know.
That's story of our lives.
So that's the deal. Now, had a meeting today with the sales department.
Yes.
There are plenty of other plastic surgeons out there who, to the best of our knowledge, have never killed anybody.
All right.
These will be the plastic surgeons that we will seek out to do our next operation.
Very good.
Because we're not going to give this up.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to give away the penis enhancement.
Right.
Of course, as the lawyers pointed out to me, we're going to have to do some real research.
I believe so.
It's, you know, the basis of this whole Washington Post article is that you could have gone to this guy's website, you could have researched this doctor, and because this happened so long ago, you would not have known that he had this skeleton in his closet.
Okay, we certainly didn't.
So there you go.
We weren't aware of that.
There you go.
What a stroke of luck.
Mm. How about that? Well, better that we found out now.
Yes. Of course.
You know, because I said to the lawyer, I said, it could be worse. And the lawyer said to me, how could it possibly be worse? I said, no, how could it be worse? It could be worse that we could have picked a listener, and the day that he was going in to have his penis cut,
this story,
that would be the day that the story came out of the newspaper.
And I'd also point out that, you know, since that time, we're talking probably about thousands and thousands and thousands of procedures that have been done without any complications.
Yeah. Oh, and it says here somewhere in this article that he's done like 1,400 of these procedures.
Exactly.
But anyway.
That's a shame. That's too bad. I feel bad. In a way, I feel bad for the doctor. I really do. Because, I mean, when you're a doctor and that kind of thing happens, you know, it's a tough business. We think we got a tough business. You know, you're in a situation like this, and obviously, you know, that'll never go away.
You know, I said to Stacey, no, Stacey, don't come by and put signs up on the window now. Please.
Stacey upset to the sales representative.
Well, she lost that like a $100,000 buy. The guy
could have spent $100,000 on commercials on her show.
Yeah. Right. I said to Stacey, you know, didn't the doctor have an idea? This huge expose. I mean, it's not like this was a little blind item in the newspaper. He was on the cover
of
the health section. It's a full page thing. He said, no. Guy never said anything. So maybe.
Now, do you think that came up because somebody heard him on this show, or do you think that came up because he was on?